For those of you out there in radio land, we are on paper 12, payments to encourage early retirement. Daniel?
Yes. Thank you, Wayne. Good afternoon, everyone. In October 2011, the committee received a submission seeking clarification on the classification of bonus payments in these German Altersstilzit plans. Close? I've been practicing it all night. Yeah, ATZ. We'll call them ATZ. Okay, the submission basically asks whether the bonus payments paid under the ATZ plans meet the definition of termination benefits or not. I think paragraph 4 just briefly goes through the typical features on eligibility, what the arrangement is. Typically, they're offered to older employees to encourage them to retire earlier. The bonus payment that's paid is conditional on the employees serving a specified amount of time at the employer. That period typically runs over, you know, 1 to 6 years, depending on the circumstances. The submitter provides three possible views: that the bonus payments are termination benefits under IS 19, or they are not, so they'd have to be accounted for under one of the other benefit categories. Now, the ISB did amend IS 19 in June 2011. As part of that amendment, some changes were made to the definition of termination benefits, but the ISB, the board, also tried to add some discussion, some guidance to clarify what that distinction was. Now, difficulties can arise when a benefit has features of both a termination condition and a service condition. And basically, the staff analysis tries to distinguish between what the deciding factor is, and you cannot provide a benefit both for service and for termination. I think they're mutually exclusive. And basically, an entity needs to identify what the defining characteristic is. So which condition would trump the other? Would the benefit be paid on termination, or would it be paid because of the service that is provided? The analysis goes through paragraph 7 to 14 and concludes that, based on the facts, the fact pattern presented, the benefit payments are not a termination benefit, so they would need to be accounted for under the other benefit classifications in IS 19. And this is based on the condition that the benefits will not be paid if the employee leaves before providing the required service. We have gone through and assessed the submission against the committee's criteria, and that's in paragraph 15 through 21. Obviously, the difficulty is that the amendments to IS 19 were issued not even 6 months ago, so this is a fairly new requirements, and there have been some changes to the old IS 19. We haven't yet completed our outreach on this issue to see whether the amendments will lead to diverse interpretations in other jurisdictions, but we're going to continue to do that outreach and see whether divergent interpretations are emerging. The staff recommendation is that the committee not take get the issue onto the agenda, that the requirements in IS 19 are clear. Part of the reason is because the requirements in IS 19, the amendments made, were an attempt to clarify what the distinction was, and we hope that they're successful. So I think I'll just turn it over to the committee now.
Comments? Andrew?
Just first a question. I mean, I don't want to leap ahead, but the tentative agenda decision refers to IS 19. I assume we are talking about IS 19 revised.
That's right, yeah.
Guido?
Well, first of all, I think it's a very good staff paper. Maybe I can add something for the committee members where we had the problems in Germany to deal with this issue under the new IS 19. Because as you all probably know, IS 19 amended the requirements or the prerequisites that need to be met in order to be within termination benefits. And the problem that we had, maybe just bring in a nutshell, was that the definition of termination benefits still says if those benefits are provided in exchange for the termination of an employee's employment, then it's termination. So the wording has changed a little bit, but I think the meaning, as I understand from the discussion we had, the content or the meaning shouldn't have changed. And then we have paragraph 162 that says there are indicators that that an employee benefit is provided in exchange for services. And as it has been said in this paper, okay, you need to provide future services, otherwise you're not entitled to this payment. Now, the question that we had in Germany is on one side, as you said, Manuel, was, all right, we still think that the payments are made for the termination because these employees are leaving earlier. And I think in the introduction of the new IS 19, it even says, well, if payments are made for the termination, so that people leave before their normal retirement date, that's in the introduction program, which certainly is the case here. So first tick mark, we said, okay, the payment is made because people are leaving earlier. And then you look into the indicators and you have to recognize, yes, but you need to provide 2 more years of service. If you're not providing the service, you're not entitled to that. So that was the tension that we had to deal with. And some people said, okay, those are only indicators. The definition is more important. Others said, no, the indicators give you specific advice. So that was the problem that we had. At the end of the day, what people said that what is more important here? You know, do you need to put more weight on the, well, let's say economic substance or whatever you would call it, that people are paid because they leave earlier than the others? Or is it the indicator tells you if you have to provide 2 more years, 1 more year, or whatever, then it's not a termination benefit. I mean, that was the heart of the discussion that we had.
Scott, and then Laurence.
Yeah, I was reading this, I think, similar to what Guido just described. While reading the fact pattern, my initial reaction is exactly as the staff described. This sounds like it's in exchange for future services, but you know, then when I read what's in the revised IAS 19, I can certainly see where, you know, someone could look at it and say, well, it's not necessarily clear that just because service is required, it's not a termination benefit. So we say in the agenda decision, or the draft agenda decision, that there isn't diversity, or we don't expect diversity. I didn't take from reading the standard that we wouldn't have diversity, and I think Guido is kind of confirming that. So I'm not as confident that the revisions to IAS 19 are going to solve the problem, if we think there is a problem.
I too had reservations about that particular wording. That we didn't expect diversity. Laurence?
I I agree with the staff's conclusion that this is where the literature leads, the revised literature leads you to acknowledging that I hear that in Germany maybe this outcome is not really reflective of what those plans are for, which are effectively to terminate the job of some people. But the problem, therefore, would lay into the revisions of IS-19 rather than what we are looking at. Now, the question I would have to Guido is, what do you think about the proposed gender rejection? Is it going to help you anyhow? Because it says nothing. It says, applies your judgment. So, I was just skeptical about the need. But this rejection.
I acknowledge Manuel said that in the staff paper, the staff came to the conclusion that the specific fact pattern in Germany, and the gender decision does not refer to the fact pattern in Germany, as I understand it, that the staff came to the conclusion based on the new paragraph 162, it's not a termination benefit. The problem will be, and I agree with you, that people would say, well, that was a staff paper. Look at the agenda rejection. The issue is not addressed, so applying judgment, that is exactly the problem that we had, because we have some people, and I can see the arguments that say this is just another way to terminate people. It's a way that is applied a lot in Germany, because you don't want to terminate at one point in time, you want to give them a chance to smoothly get into termination. On the other side, we acknowledge that 162 tells you if it's conditional on future services, and it doesn't say the payment is made for the future services, which is interesting. It just says if it's conditional, then it's not termination benefit. Now, maybe another point that I just want to mention is that in the staff paper, it is said that there are other issues that need to be considered in order to make the decision. For instance, this minimum requirement that you have to be with the firm for a certain minimum period of time, otherwise you're not entitled. And that's mostly the case in the German ADZ plans, that you have to be with the firm for 10 years or so. Now, the only problem that I have with that is that you can also have this requirement for immediate termination plans, so that people are only entitled for termination benefits if they are have been with the firm for a certain time. So to answer your question, I don't think that the agenda decision really helps us. The discussion will probably go on.
Ruth and then Andrew.
I have a similar question for Guido, which was if this agenda decision came out the way it is, would we be likely to see a local interpretation issue in Germany? And is there something else we could do in the agenda decision to give some indicators as to where we have that clash between there are elements of a termination benefit, but there is also a requirement to provide service? Which one prevails in the determination of whether or not it's a termination benefit? If we could do that in the agenda decision or somehow, then I think that would be more helpful than what's here, because I agree that the agenda decision doesn't help anybody.
Question for the staff. Have we ever in an agenda decision referred to the submission without incorporating? So could we have an agenda decision that says, in the facts submitted, we think it's a retirement benefit, but there are many other variations, and so it's going to... We have done that before. So I assume that would help you, Guido, if we wrote it that way, to say, well...
It would help all the people who knew what the submission was from.
We'd have to say what the facts were in the decision, and then it sounds
like an
interpretation.
That's the problem. You can't incorporate by reference, can you? Because we don't... Okay.
There is an ATZ plan, and in those facts, it's not termination. Maybe that'll do it. If ATZ plans are uniform enough, so everybody would know what that means.
I'm sorry, I stepped on Andrew's question, though.
Well, not really. I switched off my mic, but I was going to say something similar, because the staff analysis on this particular fact pattern seems fairly clear. So I was a little puzzled as to why the agenda decision was so neutrally worded in terms of used judgment, because it didn't seem to reflect the earlier analysis. And maybe I mean, I think the words in IS 19 revised have changed. I think they link the exchange of benefits more closely to termination, and maybe that, because my understanding is that today, under the existing standard, a lot of companies have treated these as termination benefits. Well, maybe the changes in IS 19 revised, paragraph 162, the new stuff in 163 and 164 is sufficient to, you know, trigger a change, but if there is conflicting stuff still in the standard, we need to deal with it. I just didn't think the agenda decision took us anywhere, really.
Peter, can I? I'm a little bit struggling with saying, I see where you want to go away, but if we say, well, for 80Z plans, the answer is clear. I think we would then at least need to include the reason why we think it is. And if at the end of the day the committee says, well, there might be some termination issues here, you know, people are maybe terminated, but 162 is clear, as long as you are not entitled to get the payment unless you provide this future service, full stop. That's the issue.
Yeah,
where the decision goes.
Now, I think that the first paragraph of the tentative agenda decision in the paper summarizes what the fact pattern is. I think if we replace the first sentence of the second paragraph just outlining why, just saying something like the committee noted, consistent with paragraph 162, the conditionality of the bonus payments on completion of employee service indicates that the benefits are in exchange for that service and not in exchange for termination of service. And then we can move on and say variations to this fact pattern may lead to other interpretations, for instance, because I mentioned in the paper the thing I'm worried about is if a constructive obligation arises, if the business has a practice of paying those, even if the benefit says it's conditional on future service, but the business has a practice of paying those benefits out regardless if that service is rendered or not, then that might change the interpretation.
Well, okay, but then if we say the distinguishing issue here is that you need to provide future services. I just want one more point on that, and then I... normally when you have, well, what I would say, real termination, so you go to a person and say, well, let's terminate your employment. At least in Germany, I guess in a lot of other countries also, you cannot terminate this employment at the next day. It will be maybe another 3 months. At the next quarter, the employment will be terminated. Now, in a case where in between those 3 months you have a reporting date, would you say this is a termination? Because most of the time, if this person then would leave within the 3 months, it would not be entitled to the termination benefit. So the thing I'm saying is this future service requirement might not be 2 years, it might be 3 months. I'm perfectly happy if the committee comes to a conclusion, whatever the conclusion is. I just wanted to point out that you may have problems then with other fact patterns.
I want to bring in John and then Laurence. Maybe along the line of that, my understanding of ATZ plan, they are termination plan, and that's why I think there is confusion about the accounting. There might be confusion about the accounting in Germany. The aim of the plan is to terminate people earlier. However, the way it's been designed, it requires future services for an extended period of time. So it has the attributes of both. I think when you have the attributes of both, it would be prudent to state that judgment is required, because it's not always one direction or another. It depends on the circumstances, and there may be a de minimis service requirement, like 3 months, which will not trip the termination benefit. So what I would suggest is that our statement should be that when there are attributes of both, you need to apply the judgment to determine what's the real substance of the agreement. But that in the case of the ATZ plan, because of this extended period of services, then it trips the termination, and then you...
The only reservation I would suggest to that, John, is that in the conference call that we had with the Germans, there were several, I don't know if they were actuaries, but they talked like actuaries, who wanted to say, well, despite their fact that there is a 2 or a 3 year limit or requirement, we look at the actuarial factors and all that sort of thing, and we've decided that even 2 years of additional service is not significant. And I said, well, I'm 61. 2 years of anything is significant to me. And they said, well, you don't matter. It has to be evaluated on this total population basis. So that would be my only reservation about telling people that they have the right to use judgment when we've got a pretty explicit requirement. I understand the 3 month problem. That's obviously de minimis. But Laurence?
It was to pick up on Guido's point about the 3 months requirement to work even if you are terminated. It's very much linked to the local laws relating to the plain termination. And so I would rather say to say when it is customary for the plain terminations to have a short period of time where you would keep providing services, this is not the factor you would take into account. It's just termination. Whereas when effectively the period of service differs significantly from the traditional period of service in a plain termination plan, then you start questioning whether in fact you're providing services. It's like the trade date and so on. And when you have something that is longer than the usual thing, then you start questioning.
Okay. Let's start with the basic staff conclusion that these are not termination benefits. Does anyone disagree with that conclusion in the A to Z case? Okay. Then the issue is how to communicate it. I heard a lot of agreement around the table that the language of the second paragraph, which I also have highlighted, would not address the issue sufficiently. And Manuel, you had mentioned a way we might change that. Would you repeat what you said?
Yeah. Basically replacing that first sentence with a couple of sentences just outlining what IS 19 defines termination benefits as, and the committee noting that consistent with paragraph 162A, the conditionality of the bonus payments in the A to Z case on completion of employee service over a specified period indicates that the benefits are in exchange for that service and not in exchange for the termination of service.
Can we work in language that addresses the point that Laurence and Guido made about above and beyond normal business practice or normal contractual arrangements or something like that? Or would that put us in violation of the revised standard? Guido and Andrew?
I understand what you've said, but I could envisage that then people say, well, okay, it's normal to have this 2 year period.
It will bring another point of interpretation, I think.
Which again then makes it
not that helpful, yeah.
Andrew?
I just want some clarification. I think from what you said, it will make it clear that whatever the answer might have been in the past, it's the new words in the new standard that have triggered a more, bringing greater clarity to the issue, right?
Hopefully. That was the intention of the...
Yeah, no, but there's somewhere in the paper you say... Well, you didn't actually think the new standard's done much compared to the old, but I think it has.
Well, I think what I was trying to communicate in the paper was the board did not undertake a fundamental rethink of what the classifications were and tried to maintain the distinction that the termination benefits are in exchange for termination of employment and the other employee benefits are in exchange for employee service, and so the recognition is different. And the board didn't rethink that fundamental distinction, but what it tried to do, I think, was to better define what that distinction was and what it actually means to be in exchange for the termination of employment instead of in exchange for employee service, because by definition, post-employment benefits are provided after the termination of service, so there was a bit of a concern whether there was any overlap between those definitions, and we tried to make it a bit clearer.
And Andrew, are you concerned that we should make clear that what we're talking about here in this agenda decision is the revised wording, so that people are not mistaken that we're trying to say anything about the old wording?
I understand the point about what the board's intention was or wasn't, but the fact is we've got new words which would bring brought greater clarity to the distinction.
Now, we don't want any, we intentionally said we weren't going to try and interpret the old standard and then have to deal with all of the transition and all of that. Scott?
I take from reading the paper that part of the goal of the amendments to IAS 19 was that in these kinds of situations you should generally reach the same answer that is required in U.S. GAAP. And in talking about this minimum period that we're saying is kind of de minimis, but we don't know how to define it, there are words in U.S. GAAP for that minimum period. I think it's called the legal notification period, and there's even a definition of it, so that a requirement to stay for the legal notification period doesn't turn a termination benefit into a payment for services, but a requirement to stay longer than that generally does. So if you wanted to try to work something in, there may be some words that you can pick up in the U.S. GAAP literature to try to connote what we're talking around.
I guess in many cases it wouldn't matter. If the legal notification period is 3 months and you're right in the middle of the year, it might matter whether it gets recognized in one quarter or another.
That's right.
But it would really only be if you announced it on December the 15th, Mr. Scrooge.
Yep. And,
yeah, okay. Okay, I think the staff has sufficient guidance. We'll revise the wording.
Yeah.
And, well, what's the sense of the committee? Do you want to incorporate a notion like legal notification period? Yeah, I suspect that's kind of a swamp that we might find we don't want to be in. All right, then. Is that all we need?
I think so. Thank you.
Okay. Ruth, or Shannon, excuse me.
So just one other thing. You said you were going to do some more outreach, and at the moment you've got a comment in here about the anecdotal evidence. I suggest that we don't need the further outreach and that you remove the anecdotal evidence bit.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Michael, according to my scorecard, that says that we have completed the open portion.
We have. Yes.
We need to find Philippe, who will be chairing the next discussion, which is the response to the review of efficiency and effectiveness.
So,
we are closing now. Thank you very much for the